go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 77 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. 77, that was Clint Frazier's number when he played for the Yankees, the Red Rocket with the amazing bat speed, supposedly didn't last very long with the Yankees, and he is not on their World Series roster. Hope you're doing well, Clint, but we need to move on. Yankees are in the World Series. Let's go get that title, number 28. Let's go. Go do it. Enough with the Yankees. Let's move forward. Woke up this morning. Found myself a gun. Is that how? That's how. That was the opening song to what's that famous series? Maybe the best of all time, Sopranos. Sopranos. That's the name of the song. So every once in a while, I get that opening song stuck in my head. That's how you know a sitcom had a great opening song, is when it gets stuck in your head. Again, B-Man always being redundant. No. But this morning, I did not find a gun. But what I did find. What the B-Man found or felt was a little pain on my left eyebrow, top of my nose, brow of my nose. It was more of an irritation. Think of when you get minor sunburn or you know, sometimes you shampoo or soap yourself in the shower and you don't wipe it all off and that little bit of irritation later in the day. Like, oh, I didn't get all the Irish Spring off my face. That's the kind of irritation I had. And I've had this irritation in my groin area for a few weeks. And then throughout the day, the irritation on my forehead did not go away. And now I'm thinking, oh, is this just one of those things I'm going to have to deal with? And, you know, as you get older, pains, you all know this. When you're younger, they go away. But as you get older, some of them stick. And, well, I just got to deal with that. So all day I've had this queasy feeling. Like, oh, do I have skin cancer? Maybe that's, that wouldn't be fun. Of all the cancers I could have, you could get skin. That's like the biggest, isn't that the biggest organ on our body? That's how much I know about body. Is it an organ? What is the skin? A cell? Whatever it is. I don't want it, but I'm too scared to go on the internet and look up the symptoms of skin cancer, because I know, I've done this before. If I look up the symptoms of anything, like, I'll convince myself I have it. Is that what's being called a hypochondriac is? If that's the word for it, that's what I am. There was a time when my sister, she had cervical cancer, so I was looking up how to cure it, and what is cervical cancer, and for a little bit, I'm like, oh, shit, I got cancer in the vagina, and I don't even have a vagina. That's how in head I get with symptoms when I look them up. So I'm not looking up the symptoms of skin cancer because I don't want to get super scared and think I have it and then rush to the emergency room. And maybe it just turns out this is just a one-day thing. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. And if it sticks with me, what I'll do is, few weeks from now, I'll ask my mom, who's a former nurse, and my sister Missy, who is now a nurse, hey, what's this feeling? And they probably won't know the answer, or maybe they do, and yeah, but we move forward. I just got a little irritation above my left eyebrow, and my eyebrows are beautiful, so I can't be getting chemo on those and have to lose my eyebrows. That's what I get complimented on most, my eyebrows and my eyes. So if the doctors say, hey, we got to put chemo and you're going to lose your eyebrows because you lose your hair. It's like, I already lost the hair up here. I'm not losing the hair right here. That was a bit of a dark opening. Pain. What is it? Just you move forward. You just keep moving forward. Keep making funny. That's what we do here at Verbal Graffiti. Yankees, let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Yankees. All right. We're going to get straight into Reddit. You know, this is a long one. This one I have strong opinions on. So it's going to be a roller coaster. Hang in there. Hang in there. It's coming from the subreddit, anti-pornography. What do you think my take is on this one? No, I'm not proud of you for watching ethical porn. Rant. Even if we lived in a hypothetical fantasy world where 100% of porn you watch is ethical and women are still somehow consenting and enjoying it, it's still damaging, especially within a committed monogamous relationship. You're still getting off to thousands of other women per year. I estimated the number of women my ex masturbated to in the past 7 years, and it was over 25,000. You're not even connecting to these women in real life, developing a friendship and bond. You're purely objectifying them and massaging your limp wiener from behind a screen like a creepy voyeur. You're damaging your brain and turning yourself into a disgusting creep who mentally undresses all women he sees. And if you're in a relationship, you are 100% cheating. Oh, are we? Even more so, if you're using these so-called ethical porn platforms like OnlyFans and Reddit, where you can message women to talk and even pay for their exclusive content, you've likely had more orgasms to random women than with your girlfriend, wife, in your so-called monogamous relationship. I'm glad I'm not meeting this poster on Reddit, this lady face to face. Because if you see my face right now, it's a face of disgust. I can't hide how I feel reading her post. And if she was in front of me and I could see her, I wouldn't slap her because you're not allowed to slap women. And, you know, my dad taught me that. So I wouldn't slap her. But like your ex, you know how he's mentally undressing all these women he sees? I would be mentally slapping you upside the head. That's what I'm doing right now. Not physically, not really doing it. Mentally slapping you. First off, I just want to say to your ex who has masturbated to over 25,000 porn stars, I just want to recognize him as Verbal Graffiti's number one fan. Thank you very much for viewing us since episode one. We really do appreciate your fandom and viewership here at Verbal Graffiti. On to you. Well, maybe. Have you ever thought about this, miss? Maybe if you could actually fuck well and drain your husband's balls, he wouldn't have to scour the corners of the dark web to find women to pleasure himself too. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever given that any thought? No. There's never any self-reflection. It's always the guy winking at the smut who's the issue. It's never you. It's always him. Funny how that is. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to spin your mind on a top with my argument. My argument is that pornography is a net positive for the safety of our society. Let me tell you why. I recently came across a stat. I did not read the study, but the study said that 30% of American men under the age of 30 are virgins. That means they have not dipped their wiener inside the vagina. And then you put that together with how many guys are in, you know, dead bedrooms, unhappy relationships where they're not happy with the sex. That's probably a 30% of relationships there. So you're talking over 60%, maybe upwards of 80% of American men, young men of fighting age, filled with testosterone, are not getting the sex they want. And you just think about that for a moment. If they did not have a well of pornography on the internet to dip their semen into, without that outlet, where would those men be? What would they do? It would be dangerous to be on a street. Look at the crime stats, and they'd be through the roof. They'd be higher than they are now. It would be dangerous. It would be very, you'd have to walk outside with mace. Like, literally, you think the My Lai massacre in Vietnam in 1968, you think that was savage? You thought that was horrific? All the carnage and the raping and the burning that took place there, that'd be an appetizer compared to today if we did not have pornography. The United States would have to reinstitute conscription just to get rid of these young, unsatisfied men. They'd have to send them overseas to fight somewhere else just to get them away from the American women, so that women here could live in peace and safety and not feel like the guys were going to jump them. That is what pornography does for society. Pornography is not a negative. It is a positive. It subdues men's sexuality, which makes our society safer for you. A lady who cannot get her man off, and he had to seek out pornography to drain his balls. And for every woman like you. So you should be thanking all these floozies on the internet who are diddling themselves and doing tasteless acts. They're doing it for your men who you're not doing it to. That's another man's perspective. Give it some thought. You probably won't. There's another thing in your post that I take umbrage with. There's no sarcasm being dripped with this one. This one is serious. You said that watching porn is turning your ex and men in general into creeps. Well, I got news for you, babe. I was a creep well before I even knew what pornography was. I was a creep since day one. Pornography did not turn the B-man into a creep. I was a creep before I even knew what pornography was. So do not begin on your soapbox and giving pornography credit for turning me into a creep. No, I am a creep through and through, with or without pornography. So that bothers me that you're giving pornography all the credit. No, I am a creep. I would be undressing women in the street mentally without pornography. Like, pornography is not the reason why I'm a creep. I'm a creep because I have testosterone. I'm an all-American American. So is your ex. It's not the pornography. It's our nature as men to be creeps. And the fact that we're mentally undressing you and we're not actually doing, like, we're not actually ripping off your clothes in public, like, you should be thanking us for that. I mean, the fact that there'll be a babe and I'll be mentally undressing her, but I don't actually do it, that is an act of chivalry. That is such a profound act of kindness that you should thank me as you leave the subway or the grocery store or wherever it is I'm staring at your ass. And just so you know, guys are not undressing you. We only have so much creepy bandwidth that we don't mentally undress everybody. And since your boyfriend, your ex, doesn't even want to undress you for real, chances are, I don't know who you are, but I do know who you are. And none of us creeps are mentally undressing you in public. Again, we only have so much bandwidth, so there's only a certain number of babes in public that we do that mental action to. And we're showing restraint. You should thank us for that. Again, you're wrong with that. And you got to think also, sorry, I have so many thoughts that are fluttering in my head. Like, you know, I know after this post is done, like I'm going to, or after this rant is done, and I'm going to, oh shit, there were like three or four other things I wanted to say. Like, you really got to take stock. Like, you got to take stock of yourself. Like, think about your failed relationship. And now that he's your ex, it was a failed relationship. Now, is pornography deleterious to monogamous relationships? To a degree, but not to such a degree that you're coming at us in this post too. I'll give you 10-15% maybe. Of the 100% cause for the breakup, no more than that. You gotta think about you. Like, you have one partner and you'd be in bed together, and your partner, you're now actually, he'd sneak off to the bathroom, lock the door, and while you were sleeping, he'd have some smut on his phone, and he'd be wanking himself off too, just fucking violating himself off, getting semen on the bathroom carpet, the floor, probably having to wipe it off the mirror. And like, the fact that these floozies of the internet are getting thousands of men that they've never met to interact with them on the internet and send them money without even having any real type of relationship with your ex. And many of us Johns like that. And the fact that they're able to do that, and yet you're not able to hold down one man that you know, that you've been intimate with, that you've had real conversations with. To me, that tells me more about you than your ex or any of the floozies that are on Reddit and OnlyFans. And another thing, OnlyFans is not ethical porn. You pay at ladies' OnlyFans. I don't know what the monthly subscription is. Shockingly enough, I've never paid for OnlyFans. I know, that comes as a surprise to many, but I've never paid for OnlyFans, but I do know how the system works. You pay a lady's monthly subscription fee, let's say it's $15. There's a certain percentage of that $15 per month fee that goes to OnlyFans, the business, the entity that is OnlyFans. Think about that. So you're paying the lady, and the lady has to take some of that money and hand it to OnlyFans. What does that make OnlyFans? OnlyFans is a virtual pimp. There is nothing ethical about that. That's one of the reasons why I don't pay for anyone's OnlyFans account, because I don't want to give money to a virtual pimp. OnlyFans is the Walmart of smut, and they will not get my money because my moral compass will not allow me to do so. So you don't even know what ethical porn. So if you're going to come at me with an anti-pornography stance, you better know your stats. You better know what your smut is, because I'm going to come at you 10 out of 10 times. And I'm going to win the argument. I'm going to win your argument after this 10 minute rant. I mean, how can you blame any John for looking at smut? There's a reason why no guy's gotten down on one knee and proposed to you with a $4,000 ring. It's because you're a wet blanket. You think watching pornography is cheating, which it absolutely is not. And never get into a relationship with a person who views pornography as cheating. I warned you. Let's go look at some photos. I want to take a moment to congratulate my sister Muffy for completing the Hartford Marathon a couple weeks ago. It's a big deal. I won't say her time. She wasn't happy with it. But finishing a marathon, and this is her 10th completed marathon, that's a big deal. Going 26.2 miles, that shows you have a strong mental state, strong mind. It is more mental than physical doing marathons. I've done one, so I can say that. So congratulations, Muffy, for another completed marathon this year. Am I a good brother? Yes, I went to the marathon. I cheered her on. I'm not a great brother, though. I wasn't there at the beginning. The marathon started at 7:45 a.m. on a Saturday. And I told her, sis, love you. don't love you at 7:45 a.m. on a Saturday, though. I'm not getting there that early. So I showed up a few hours later, and I was in a parking garage. If you don't know anything about Hartford, it's a bunch of parking garages. All the street parking was closed up due to the race. So I go up the garage. I had to pee. I pee in parking garages. I am that guy. I don't know. I think it started when I was a kid. My dad would bring me and my brother to Yankee games. And it was a long drive from Connecticut to New York. So we'd get to New York. We'd be in this shady parking lot. And my dad was just pee right there by the car. No, but no one's looking. So I think that's where it started. And to this day, if I'm in a parking garage, as soon as I get out of my car, like I open my front door, I look both ways, make sure there's no cars coming, make sure there's no cameras, and I just let the drain loose, and I pee. I am a parking garage peer through and through. When you're walking in a garage and your head gets knocked back with those smelling salts that are at that. They smell like, oh, piss. Oh, is that a homeless guy? Nope, it was a bee man. I really don't pee in city landscapes, in metropolitan areas. I'm not peeing around corners. But there's just something about a parking garage. When I know, especially if it's crowded, I could open my door. I could kind of hide myself. There's a thrill. It's a thrill. It is a bit... You know, I have friends when I was in high school who got, especially a lady, you know, girl friends, space between the two. Like we'd go to Walmart and they get thrill out of like stealing makeup. There are a lot of women who have a thrill. They could afford the supplies, but they like the thrill of the stealing it, putting in their pocket or the purse and getting away with it. That thrill that the babes get stealing supplies that they... at gas stores and things like that, I get that kind of thrill, or at least I imagine it's the same thrill when I'm peeing in public in a public parking lot. Something about it is like, ooh, is some car's coming? Is there a security officer? And you're looking down, and you got to kind of move your legs so when the pee starts to drip, because, you know, parking garages are usually angled, so you kind of make sure you don't get it on your nice sneakers. So it's... there's a lot going on when you're peeing in a lot. Enjoy it. Not going to stop doing it. I probably will once I get caught. So hopefully I don't out myself here. During that intermission, I got a text message, another text message from Kamala Harris. She has become I won't say my best friend, but she's one who speaks to me the most via text the last 2 months. So I'm happy this election is coming to a conclusion, or at least I hope it concludes soon. Who do I want to win? B-Man? Who are we rooting for here? Gotta admit, I do find Donald Trump funny. He is amusing in short doses. But I'm rooting for Kamala. I want her to win. Now, I don't like Kamala. I'll just come out and say. I think she's kind of twatty. I would like to fondle her boobs, but there's her personality. And she's Sarah Palin 2.0, the sequel, in my not so humble opinion. But I am rooting for her to win because I am a spiteful man. CC, the B man, you know I am spiteful. And I do know that if Kamala Harris wins this election, like she'll never come out and say it because she can't, and she cannot say this. But Kamala Harris, when she wins, if she wins this election, it will infuriate Hillary Clinton. You know, if Kamala Harris becomes the first female president of the United States of America, Hillary Clinton is going to have to put on a smiley face and cheer her on. But you know, we all know that in her soul, Hillary is going to be furious that that woman is the first president and not Hillary Clinton. Because Hillary knows she could wipe the floor with Kamala. And Hillary just, her entire life is getting fucked over, and I'm here for it. You know, the Clintons have a kill list, so I'm not going to say anything more about Hillary Clinton because I don't want to be another check off on that list. And just so you know, This isn't a left-right thing. I like Bill Clinton. I root for him. How can you not root for a man who sticks a cigar up an intern in the Oval Office? That's what I want to do here at Verbal Graffiti. I want to have a guest. And while we're talking on camera, I'm sticking... I don't know. Maybe I'm like putting this right under her vagina and squeezing and then milking her vagina and getting the juices. And I just want to diddle a lady, an intern, half my age on camera while I'm speaking to the United States of America and then stain her dress. Hillary, Bill's a G. Bill's a G. Anything he was doing, I don't condone anything he was doing at Epstein Island. We're not fucking with that here at Verbal Graffiti. But Hillary... There is, like, the sadistic, I am a little sadistic. I'm starting to realize I am a vengeful guy. The fact that, like, she lost to Donald Trump and then Kamala Harris would beat Donald Trump, and so did Joe Biden, who is just, you know, a vegetable at this point, that's just got to irk her to no end. And that would make me... That's funny to me. You know, so, I don't really care who you vote. Honestly, my opinion here, Verbal Free, don't vote. Don't vote. Moving along. There's a theme this episode, as we were starting to notice. Each episode has a theme. This one is pornography, which is kind of a overarching theme to the entire project we're doing here. But let's move on. This comes from a subreddit, porn is misogyny. The fact that studies show that elderly men still prefer women in their 20s proves they see us as objects. Would someone normal prefer only young people as friends in their old age and replace their lifelong friends with 20-year-olds? As soon as their pet gets older, take it to the shelter and get a puppy? Most people actually do that. No, because healthy people form bonds and emotional attachment with living beings they've grown old with. But someone would replace an old appliance or utility object for a new one because it no longer serves its purpose as well. This mirrors how men treat women and their female partners as they age. Like objects that should be replaced, not like living beings. This is why those studies show the pattern of men still lusting after 20-year-olds, no matter how old they are, for their entire life, and why many men cheat and or abandon their partner for younger women. I think that porn might literally wire their brains to be attracted to very young women, because that's basically all its features. Can you blame us, guys? Can you blame us, Johns? Let's do a little exercise, all right? When you're done watching Verbal Graffiti, episode 77, go on whatever smut site you enjoy, it was your go-to, and watch a porn video with a 25-year-old physical prime lady, floozy porn star, and then go watch a porn video with a 75-year-old lady. Which one would you rather watch a second time? We all know the answer without even answering it. It's the 25-year-old, because nobody wants to watch a lady whose body resembles a lava lamp fuck. And as to your notion that every guy is dropping his 50-year-old wife to date a sorority sister, where is this happening? Where is this happening? Where are all the guys who are using walkers alongside a college co-ed? I don't see it. There is this misnomer that some ladies think that once they hit 50, that every guy will drop her and go find a college co-ed to date. Doesn't happen. Like, it does happen, but it's such a small percentage of guys that actually do that, that you really have nothing to worry about. Like, the percentage of worry that you should have to worry is minimal. Like, when you're watching a football game and it's like, team's up three scores, they have a 98% chance of winning in the final 2 minutes. That's how you are with like your partner leaving for a college coach. It just doesn't happen. Because it does happen, but it's so small. Like, I'll admit, yeah, guys would love to drop their wives for a hot babe, but they don't because they can't. Go look at the guys in this country. Go look at the guys in the United States of America over the age of 40. It is a grotesque group of men. It's barely human being. It's surviving, you know, by a pinky. That's what most guys over the age of 40 are: overweight, obese, have vices, like spend their weekends smoking, dipping, using Zen, playing video games, watching sports of young, attractive men fulfill their dream. They're playing video games, they're sports betting, they're gambling, they're participating in vices. They're not improving their life. These guys, like, once a guy turns 40 or 50 or 30, like, he's not going to drop you and start dating the hot 23-year-old waitress that works at Chili's. And the main reason why is because he can't. Because he's obese, he drinks, his career, he's done nothing of note. There's nothing sexy about him. So the 23-year-old girl, babe, is not, you have nothing to worry about with these young women. They're not stealing your man. Nobody wants your man. You don't even want your man. Let's be honest. There's a reason why, you know, dead bedroom is a term. It's because guys want to cheat, but they can't because they don't have the game. There are very few men who have enough game to pull the 23-year-old waitress at Applebee's. It just doesn't happen. And as for pornography being the reason why guys lost over barely legal teens, pornography has nothing to do with it. It's like the first segment. Whether pornography is a thing or when it was not a thing, like, guys are still creeps. And it's really not our fault. It's biology, and it's genetics, and it's reproduction. There's a reason why. Let's just read evolutionary psychology. Read one book by Dr. David Buss, and you'll understand this. All right? The reason why guys, no matter how old they get, still want to fuck a 20-year-old woman, it's because she's fertile. She's the most fertile being on earth. She's got the healthiest eggs. That's why we're attracted to those firm, perky tits. It's because that's signaling that she has eggs that we could put our semen into and reproduce. Because life is about reproducing. That's why we're on this earth. It's to reproduce and keep the species going. Now, you're looking at this through the lens of love and Disney and relationships and until death do us part. But you got to look at this through an evolutionary psychology lens. The only reason, that's why guys look at those hot women. Why I look at those hot women. Because I see a hot 23-year-old with wide hips and jiggly tits, and I'm drooling, and I'm trying to get near her as close as I can, and I'm stumbling my words, and I try to pick her. The reason why I do that is because I want to put Mr. Perfect inside of her and combine our genes so that my genes will move on to the next generation. You got to look at this through a science lens and not a lovey-dovey lens, and that's where you're fucking up. And as for, see, guys do cheat, but you got to understand, most guys don't cheat with somebody who's younger and more attractive than you, because if they did, If your man cheated with a babe who was younger and more attractive than you, he wouldn't be cheating on you with her. He'd break up with you and start dating the younger, more attractive woman. Now, who the man cheats on you with, it tends to be someone the same age or older, and a lot of the times actually uglier than you. And the reason why he does that is because it's the number one rule. New pussy is the best pussy. And it doesn't matter if the person's older and more crusty and less attractive than you, it's still new. And that makes it more appealing than your vagina. So that's who most men, the men who do cheat, and I don't condone or uncondone doing so. That's who most of these guys are, you know, that's most of the strains that they're getting. It is uglier. You know, if we're ranking women, they're below your ranking. And as for porn, one more thing. And just to prove my point that I am correct, the B-man is correct, and you are wrong, is saying that porn is the reason why men lust, we want those young 19, 20, 21-year-old women. The reason why you're wrong is because this was the case well before hardcore pornography on the internet was ever a thing. Example, Genghis Khan. Remember when he would rape and, you know, he'd pillage and ransack a village, and he would rape a bunch of women, and he'd take all these new wives like without their consent. You think he was taking... reproducing with the elderly women in the village that he pillaged? No, absolutely not. He was going into a village and he was finding the youngest, most attractive women to reproduce with. And he did that village after village, so much so that like some scientists think that like 10% of people in the world have the same genes or have some, they come from the gene pool of Genghis Khan. And he was doing that. He didn't have the internet. So it wasn't internet, messing up his mind and turning him into a creep. No, it's evolutionary psychology. It's the biology of wanting to reproduce with the youngest, most fertile, attractive women that you can get with. And, you know, this go back to the days of a dowry. You think that you have to pay a higher dowry for a younger, more attractive woman than you do for a crusty old lady who's collecting from AARP. And again, you do that. You go back hundreds of years when dowries were very popular. Pornography, the way we have it, in the form today was not a thing back then. And yet, yeah. So throughout time, old pervy creeps like myself have wanted younger, attractive, barely legal teens. It's been that way since day one and throughout evolution, and it will continue to be so till the end of time because, you know, we just want to put our seed in the youngest, most fertile lady to make our genes go on to the next generation. It has nothing to do with pornography. We're just naturally perverted individuals, us creeps, Johns, on the internet. So all these people on the internet coming out of the woodworks, coming out against pornography. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I shot you all down. Boom, 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 boom. B-man wins, you lose. What else is new? Continuing on with our reading series, our reading for adults, The Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence, published date 1977. We're going to read two pages, starting at the top of page 21. "Oh, Alan. Oh," she moaned. Alan was grunting and moaning, his body tense and alive with excitement. He was at last getting the sort of animal release he had craved for long. He reveled in the barbaric excitement that consumed him. He fucked her with wild, unimaginable strength, and Pamela received his burning, iron-hard blows with gasping ecstasy as she was caught suddenly in a whirling, boiling vortex of excitement, the likes of which she had never known before. Extraordinary thrills surged through her loins, and her body rocked with passion. She surrendered completely to the sensual storm that crashed over her, and her vagina suddenly bloomed with excitement from the pounding strokes she was receiving in the passage behind, separated by a thin membrane of skin. She twisted her hips eagerly, anxious to increase the surging, lusty hotness, and as she did, Alan grew elated. She was fucking back. For the first time in her life, she was fucking back. It was incredible, but it looked as if his anal rape was having the desired effect. At that moment, white-hot sperm gathered and surged in his throbbing, lust-tightened balls, welling up like a churning maelstrom of scalding seed. He was coming. Ah! He cried in exhalation, and suddenly he was there. Convulsive spasms seized his mightily climaxing cock, and he shot forth a torrent of white-hot cum deep in her warmly clasping anal passage. Pamela could feel the surging seeming enter her like a rushing river, filling her loins and spreading a delicious glow through her entire body. She seemed to be flying in space on a cloud of delight as her husband gushed an endless rocket load of cum into her. Alan exulted as the steaming seed spurted out of the tip of his disarging cock and rolled in thick, vicious streams into her anus. He felt like a titan shooting his turbulent cum into the shuddering rear of his slave. Ah! Ah! He grunted triumphantly. His grip on her hips tightened as she screamed in excitement, her hotly throbbing cunt secreting its own violent juices as he responded in ecstatic orgasm to his lewdly thrusting cock. She was coming, too, for the first time in her life. Oh, yes! She groaned deliriously. Yes! Finally, what seemed like hours, the raging passion began to subside, and Alan removed his spent cock from her rectal passage, and there was sudden pop as the still gorged thick head pulled away from the stretched, aching hole. He quickly slumped beside her on the bed, drained and exhausted from the violent encounter. Yet he was wildly hopeful, for it did seem to him that Pamela had finally begun to respond, even achieve orgasm. He turned to her, searching her face for a sign. Go suck a fat one.